B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jones waits out of the snap. Two receivers left from the 33. Takes it under some pressure. Throws across the middle.
Hit high in the air by Gilmore. Picked off by Simon. Does a U-turn to the left sideline. And John Simon is forced out of bounds by Slayton. A throw
ball
into
drill.
Coverage with a flag on the play.
Great block.
The deflection by Gilmore high in the air. Intercepted by Simon.
Yeah, great job by Gilmore right here. Getting in that left hand. Ball's up. Oh, we had a good block by Shelton. On the tight end. They can't get Shelton on this.
Referee Brad Allen conferencing his crew. Here's the call.
Get the turnover chain out.
Now the first and 10. Deep drop by Jones. Stands in the pocket. A lot of time. Slides left. Now the pocket started to collapse. And he throws it up for grabs. Intercepted by Daron Herman, who runs down the right side. 35-30. Left cut across the 25. And then eventually slammed out of bounds by Mike Remmers toward the Patriot sideline.
Oh,
just a terrible decision by Daniel Jones.
Horrible. Just a dumb throw here, but you got yourself a badass defense. You apply pressure. He's waiting. He bails off the back foot. There's nobody within 10 yards of this ball. I don't even know what he's looking at. Just a chuck and duck to the left.
Jones out of the gun, has two receivers left and one to the right. A back to his left, the quarterback takes the snap, drops back, loads up, throws to the near side. Intercepted by Gilmore on the juggle with a back shoulder to throw intended for Ellison. And Stephon Gilmore picks it off for the Patriots at the New England 18-yard line.
That is a horrible, gross throw. But a good play by Gilmore. Give credit for making a play. Terrible throw by Jones. Late and outside and lazy.
Hour 2, Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Your thoughts on Daniel Jones? There was 3 interceptions last night.
So, look, I still think the kid's going to be a pretty good player. I do. There were some throws he made into really tight windows last night that I thought, wow, that's pretty good. And what he doesn't have is experience. And when he gets it, I think he's going to be good. But the worst of the lot, because there were some garbage throws, the worst of the lot was that last one. The Gilmore one, and Aikman was on it. I thought he did a good job breaking it down. That's an easy read.
Clearly zone.
That's an easy read. What are you doing? Like, to me, he hit himself on the head, if you remember, right after that pick. He just is young.
I thought the second was worse. How long are you going to hold the ball back there, son?
Which one was that? The one that...
That was the one where his arm got deflected to Harmon. Like, what was that? Good God. Line up on second down.
Yeah, I still think the kid has something, but that wasn't a good night for him. But any rookie quarterback is going to take some serious lumps, especially that first season. So, just a bad night for him. Those picks were brutal.
Like him?
I do.
I do. Yeah, there was one particular throw. I think I know what you're trying to think of, Maz, is there was one. It kind of got deflected into Slayton.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a throw. Like, you can't really even defend it. It was a great throw.
No, he had a couple of tight window throws. The touchdown ball was a really nice ball.
Yeah.
So he had a handful where you said, oh, okay, there you go. But the decision-making was just wretched.
Yeah, to try to pick on Stephon Gilmore, like, it was a few times. It's like, what the hell are you thinking? Like,
right.
Reap what you sow there.
When they were going after Jonathan Jones, okay, that made sense. He overthrew tape one time against Jones and went back to it. Like, that's the Giants I'm used to. I don't know about Shermer, but...
And then the other thing, too, so
where was the running?
Yeah, well, thank you.
The guy can run. I thought there were several chances for him to take off and use his legs, and he only really did it once. I was like, well, what happened to the running element?
So just even looking at highlights, the first couple of weeks that he played, he'd go through his progressions, nothing was there, he would take off and make a play. He didn't do that at all last night, so maybe they told him not to keep him from getting hit. I don't know, but I thought that was odd.
So I'd have to go back and look and see how many real opportunities there were. I'm wondering if the Patriots had that bottled up pretty well. Like, maybe some of that was on them. That one play where he did run, he's fast.
Yeah, he's good. He got great wheels.
He's fast.
And I thought that was going to be a factor in the game. I mean, that's how you can break down the Patriots a little bit. And the kid barely did it. So I was disappointed overall in the performance. I mean, I saw some of the tight window throws. I get it. Big kid, accurate in some respects. But the decision-making feels like he's got a million miles to go.
Yeah, he's got a ways to go. I think it's just inexperience, though. I think there's something to work with there. I think they got something.
Back to your phones, as promised. Brody in Maine on the quarterbacks. Hi, Brody.
Yeah, so, I mean, I like to watch the league, and I think I got a pretty good handle on all the quarterbacks, but I hadn't gotten a chance to watch this kid yet. I have the internet telling me this kid, Danny Dimes, and he's literally just throwing the ball to our cornerbacks and our safeties. Like that one where his arm got hit, Mike.
Oh, bad.
He was throwing it. Even if his arm didn't get hit, he was throwing it into four Pats defenders. It's like, what are you doing? And then you got this one, the one pick. He goes over and he's sitting on the bench next to Eli. You got Eli trying to figure it out on his iPad while he's sitting next to him. It's like the blind leading the blind with the Giants. Like, it's a joke. And so you look down the league and it's like there's 15 quarterbacks that have been drafted in the last 3 years. And I think four and five, maybe six of them are decent. And then you've got like five older guys that are decent. And so like what, 2/3 of the league sucks at quarterback. And I'm wondering, like, is like this is the only era that I've grown up in, like Favre, Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger. Like, I'm only 29.
So let me tell you, Brody.
Is this how it's always been?
Yes. I'm just going to cut you off. I think it's, you know, you've never had a league with 32 good players at that position. But I think previously in the league, you could win with defense or even in a certain era running the ball or things of this nature. So it wasn't so quarterback dependent. I think that's what you're seeing. But actually, I think, again, this year with the way Indy, New Orleans, Carolina, Jacksonville, some teams are winning with backup quarterbacks is renewing my faith a little bit. Let's see how it all ends up. I mean, you're probably going to want a good established quarterback, and those, I guess, are few and far between. But I think in the short term, I think there's been enough teams that have held their head above water with backup quarterbacks that makes me wonder, is it trending back to a little more balanced approach?
I mean, hell, they even showed that during the broadcast last night. They did exactly what we talked about yesterday, which is you look at the backup quarterbacks in the league and the way they've come through. So I just look at it with, you know, I look at it with Jones and say, he was wretched last night. It was his fourth career start in Foxborough against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
And the best defense in the league.
And brutal weather.
Yeah.
Like, you know, can we cut him a little slack? Like, I'm not telling you he's the next Marino, but I think he could be a pretty good player.
Philip in Chelmsford. Philip, you're up. What do you got?
Hey, boys. One point that I think ties in with Belichick and Gronk. The reason why Belichick gave Antonio Brown that guaranteed money is he knew he'd be controversial, and he wanted to make it hard for the Patriots to get rid of him. Because he knew the offense had problems.
So how'd that work out for him, Philip?
Well, it might have been the wrong decision, but that should tell you that Belichick sees the problems on the offense, and I think that's why you might see a Gronk come back, because what would be better for Gronk's brand to come back and help that offense win one more for Tom Brady?
Okay, I think that's Gronk's brand is established. We'll get to Gronkowski here coming up in a little bit. So Bill signed him to a bad contract to make it harder for Robert to say get rid of him. Maybe.
It's an interesting theory.
I mean, okay, maybe. That blew up in his face. It didn't work. Robert still cut him.
It did.
Bad decision.
Right. And again, and not only did Robert end up cutting him, but now you're stuck with the money on the books. And, you know, now you've hamstrung your ability to potentially go out and get a replacement.
It's easily the worst part. Of course it's the worst part. If you didn't have money tied to him, you give it a shot, you cut. I mean, that's how most of their risks and most of their moves with these kind of players work. You bring them in, no downside. You cut them, you're not owed them any money, and it's, you know, no harm, no foul at the end of the day. This has left a mark. It's left a chunk of your salary.
I mean, for a coach that values flexibility and versatility over all else, he didn't leave himself many options with this guy.
They blew the Antonio Brown thing. I mean, it's okay. They usually get it right. They got that one wrong. Paul in Leominster, why was Tom Brady sticking his nose in there, quarterback sneaking from the 4-yard line with 3 minutes left in a blowout? Why?
Hey, Michael, Mavs, and Mr. Gray. I'm going to tell you right now, pregame, Gronkowski predicted that Brady would be going over the goal line with his hands extended, meaning I think they're doing some little phone checking. I think Brady gave him a little tidbit.
Huh? When did Gronkowski say that?
No, I don't know.
He said it pregame, and he said, I also have another one for you. Brady's going to go arm stretched, sneak.
Okay, so
that's news to me. I didn't catch any of that.
I made the mistake of watching Gronkowski in the pregame. I don't remember him saying anything about that. Do I have that wrong? Let me know. I don't remember him saying that. All I know is, how'd you feel about Brady quarterback sneaking from the 4-freaking-yard line with 3 minutes left, up 14 points in a game that was essentially over?
Yeah, to me, that was a message to either the coaches, the guys on the offensive line, Sony Michel, whoever, but it was a message to somebody. Clearly, we can't run the ball and get a yard. So you know what? I'm going to have to do this myself.
Brian in the
apparently
car.
Mike Gronk said it. They did a prediction segment on Fox right before they went to Aikman and Buck, and that's where Gronk said that Brady's going to dive into the goal line, over the goal line.
Okay.
That's according to Vinny at TV.
I guess I did miss that. Maybe I got so sick of watching that wretched garbage product that I turned it off at the very end. I don't remember it. So that's why Brady did it? Although, well, that's great. Whee! Let's stick Tom Brady's 42-year-old noggin in the middle to get his block knocked off to because what? He told Gronk he'd do it now? Is that what's going on? Brian in the car. Go ahead, Brian. What do you got?
That's fun.
Hey, you guys were talking about Brandon Bolden earlier, and I wanted to point out, how about the block punt? Him just forcing his way down that guy's throat, pushing him into the punter, and basically causing the block punt himself, and then Chase Winovich looking up, howling at the moon, and scoring a touchdown.
I'll tell you what, Brian, I've never been in on Brandon Bolden and his roster spot. I'll buy in. As long as he's, you know, he's valuable as a backup running back. That's what his value is, and he's good on special teams. So you can do that on your own time, and I'll just accept it. Go ahead. Tell me about all his great special teams work. And we all saw it last night on the block punt, as you mentioned. But if you have injuries at running back or guys go down, he can do it all. He can catch. He knows the offense. Brady's going to trust him more than a young kid, obviously, because Brady hates young players. And so I'll take Brandon Bolden. But again, he's got to be a factor in the offense as a, you know, as a stopgap.
Yeah, listen, I've never been a Bolden guy, ever. Last night, I started to change my mind.
Because you saw him next to Sonny Michel.
I mean, he was good in that game, though. He was. He made a good play on special teams. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He can even return kickoffs. Like, he can do a lot of different things. There's a lot of, you know, I like him as a depth piece. As a some sort of featured guy, no shot.
No, right, but to me, for his value, as good as he is on special teams, I need to see him be an option on offense,
sure,
too. You know, and so that's just good depth. You don't have to carry an extra roster spot. You know, maybe that's what costs Harris, is that Bolden does all the special teams and he can be that, you know, backup running back. Smoke and Bob Sosie standing by. We'll talk to him next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Jones takes the snap. Patriots with a blitz. And a throw to the right. Caught in the flat by Hillman. Jamie. Nowhere to go. Jamie Collins is there. Ooh. Ball came loose. Picked up by Van Noy. To the 10, to the 5. Ooh. Diving to the pylon.
Touchdown.
They're going to say he's out of bounds. They're going to say he stepped out at the 2.
What is a catch and a fumble?
The boogeyman.
Fourth takeaway.
Boogeyman by defense. This linebacking crew, unbelievable. Unbelievable read by Jamie Collins. Gets through the tackle. Forces another fumble. And then scoop and score. Van Noy. He thought he was in.
Kyle Van Noy launching, reaching out with the right hand and hitting the pylon on his dive to the corner.
Never stepped
out. Van Noy. That should be a touchdown the way we see it.
The ruling on the field of the runner out of bounds is under further review.
We return after a replay review. Indeed, it's a touchdown for Kyle Van Noy. The difference is now 27-14. And the point after pending for Mike Nugent.
Here we go.
It's time for Hot Sports Takes with Bob Sosie.
No excuses this week, Robert. Scalding Bob Sosie. Scorching Bob Sosie. And his hot take.
Yeah! All right, Bob Sosie with the call there, the Van Noy touchdown. That was a great athletic play by Van Noy to get in the end zone, but let me tell you, he even mentioned it after the game, Bob.
He did.
He mentioned that He was thinking that if he loses that ball, he's in trouble with Bill, because the Patriots are not one of these dumb teams that extend the ball at the goal line. And we all know that if you extend the ball at the goal line and it fumbles through the end zone, that's a touchback, and you don't get the ball at the one, you are port. And so the Patriots are excellent at taking care of the ball on the goal line. They're not one of these dumb teams. I think Bill tells you, do not extend at the goal line. And if you do and lose the ball, you're out. And so Van Noy knew it. So it was still a tremendous athletic play, but that the reach out for the pylon like that, I don't think Bill likes you doing that. Honestly, and I don't either. No. I think it's dumb. I mean, go out of bounds and you're first and goal at the one. Although for this team, who knows? Maybe
right, exactly. Yeah, punch it in.
So Bob with the call last night. Issues on the team. Do you think the offensive line is where you would start?
Well, first let me say welcome back, Tony. It's good to have you back.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Yeah, got to build up the energy for it, Bob.
Jim didn't want to tread on your territory, so it's good to have you again.
Yeah, I won't say it. Yeah, you need Maz to do it.
Offensive line, and I think, you know, in conjunction with the tight end position when it comes to both run blocking and pass blocking, as we saw last night, I think you look at the makeup of the offensive line with not only a new left tackle, but you have the backup center who's had to take over as the starting center. And this is, again, not to slight Ted Karras, but you had David Andrews, who was a captain and the captain of the offensive line, a team captain of the offensive line, which means, of course, that, you know, Brady has developed a trust with him. When Brady sets the protections, he makes the calls. You have a left tackle in Marshall Newhouse. They've brought in, what, 4 or 5 different offensive linemen during the course of the season, dating back to the week before the opener against the Steelers. Bodine's not here anymore because they brought him in and then let him go. But nonetheless, there's been a lot of moving pieces. You have the tight ends. Lacoste hasn't been able to stay on the field. And then Ryan Izzo's had a difficult time, whether again sealing the edge in the run game.
But is this the biggest problem you see?
And with pass protection.
Is it? So if there's offensive problems.
I think it affects the run game for sure. And I think it's a part of the problem with the passing game too.
No question. Bob, they can't block. They can't block. They can't block the run game. They can't block the pass game. So now I'm not telling you that it's like, you know, literally a jailbreak every time they snap the ball, but they can't block consistently. It's a problem.
And Tony, it's especially a problem. Well, as we saw last night on those short yardage situations, it's similar to early in 2015, which really was a sign of times to come. You'll recall in that first game against Kansas City, kind of overshadowed was the inability to pick up some short yardage situations when Mike Gillisley was the back, and that was an offensive line that, you know, was beset by injury problems.
I forgot about him.
But you know, the other part of it is too, and it's a pass and a run play. The screen game, the difficulty, the timing of the screen. Now, last night, a couple of them to Edelman, and you see an isolation where it's Edelman and Jacoby Myers. But I think in general, it's just there's some things that are out of sync right now offensively from that standpoint. And yet they still put up 21 points offensively last night, and Brady throws for more than 300 yards.
Your thoughts on some of those young receivers? It feels to me like Jacoby Myers deserves more of Tom Brady's trust than he's getting.
You know, it's funny. I went back in my notes, the notebook I keep from mini camp, and the early part of training camp, and in particular was in mini camp, and I think others at the time might have tweeted this or even written this. And the time really was investing himself. It was pretty obvious how encouraging he was trying to be with N'Keal Harry in particular. Of course, he was the first-round pick, rookie receiver coming in. He was working a lot with Troy Brown and Deion Branch at the time. And yeah, I remember that standing out to me. And then during the course of the early part of training camp, when Myers was making plays, catching a lot of balls, I don't remember, and I may be wrong in this regard, I don't remember, you know, a lot of time spent with Brady throwing it to him, even in warmups. And it wasn't until that third preseason game when we saw Brady, you know, go to Jacoby in a setting in the preseason, because he didn't play.
Yeah, he dropped the first one. I mean, I remember that.
Yeah, right. There was some miscommunication right away, and it was not a good start. And, you know, I think now what we saw last night was out of necessity, you know, going to Myers, who validated him throwing in his direction.
I'm sorry, let me just cut in. I mean,
the back shoulder catch that he made at the 1 yard line, the play that he made reaching up and extending it. And he's a kid who's very smart.
Well, so let me just jump
in. He's also fearless, I think.
Bob, the catch that he made when he caught it up high and then extended it higher to get it out of reach of the defensive back was just a really instinctive football play, which impress me. I hope it impresses Brady. Is that my only point? Like, let this guy in a little bit more. And even, you know, Brady was dirted a little swing pass out of the backfield that he bailed him out on too with
a
great one-handed catch.
Play on that. Yeah, he avoided a 2 or 3 yard loss and picked up a yard or two on that particular
right.
play.
Right. So, like, let the kid in. Your thoughts on the Michael Bennett usage and what's going on there?
Well, it's kind of interesting to me because I think that somebody who played in this defense brought up the Chris Long example in the preseason, how when Long was here, it just wasn't a fit. He was asked to do things that, you know, he wasn't comfortable doing. He was able to grind it out, and he played his role. And then after the season, and he even talked about it, he was honest about it after the season. He went with the Eagles. He signed with the Eagles so that he could get back to the kind of defender he was, and how in this defense with Bill, you have to do some things you know in other defenses you're not required to do. And, you know, for Bennett coming over, you know, principally, you know, as a guy that got upfield on the end 4-3, the way this defense has changed a bit, I think, you know, he has said that he was comfortable doing what he was going to be asked to do. But I think that, you know, that might be part of it. You know, dealing with, you know, the different role that he now has with this team as opposed to other teams he's been on, the different things, the multiple things you have to do.
You got two gap here. You got to, you know, get dirty and have a little bit more of a selfless role.
And, you know, and beyond that, too, I think.
And I'm not sure if he's used to it or cut out for it.
Now, he's, you know, beyond that, though, I think there have been some pleasant surprises for them, among them Danny Shelton.
Okay, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Michael Bennett, who paid $8.5 million
dollars. Right, right. Well, this is the point I'm going to make. And I think that Shalik Calhoun is a guy that, and the way they've been able to use their linebackers over the guards and on the ends as defensive, de facto defensive ends, you know, I think that they have such depth
okay,
and versatility
so
with those guys.
If he's been passed on the depth chart, do you think his roster spot's in jeopardy?
Well, I think given the economics of it, you know, that's a possibility, especially given the snap count last night. I had thought, you know, he had showed up on the injury report a couple of weeks ago with a shoulder injury, given his age, that, you know, perhaps this was a management of snaps so that you have him for the long haul. You know, perhaps last night was more of a sign of where he sits on the depth chart and, you know, potentially a move given his.
I think he's cooked.
You know, yeah, keep an eye on Michael Bennett.
You know, but,
I do. I think they're going to move him.
But I think one of the things that's been overlooked in this is that there have been some guys who've, you know, Adam Butler's play, Shelton's improvement, and I think that was a pleasant surprise. They didn't sign him until relatively late in the offseason, and he's been a much better player.
Well, they haven't needed Bennett. I mean,
you know,
so
and then we talk about Simon and Calhoun and Hightower and Van Noy. And then the ability to move Jamie Collins. I think Jamie Collins might have been even a pleasant surprise. You knew what he had physically, but the way he's played, going back to the spring again, you know, you've got those pieces up front. That, you know, maybe when Bennett was acquired right after Trey Flowers or about the time Trey Flowers signed with the Lions, you know, maybe he was seen as a one-for-one replacement. Well, now you've had all these other guys, and this defense has morphed into something it wasn't this time a year ago.
Okay, I wonder if Bennett's the odd man out. Bob, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Bob. Appreciate it. Here comes an update from Murray, and we are right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let me tell you this. To get a deal done here was a lot easier than getting a deal done with the
oh,
Patriots.
Really?
Oh, yes. I was just telling the truth. Back.
All right, just a minute on Gronkowski. And I'm not going to spend another one on it because I'm done. It was my mistake to watch that.
So I didn't see the pregame.
Okay. So I did, unfortunately. I did. And I knew it was coming. And I make a point of not watching those shows because I think they've gotten so vapid and ridiculous and grab ass. It's just nonstop grab ass. So this is the last Gronkowski topic I'm going to do. You can do it on your own time if you want. But do you people watch those pregame shows? That pregame show last night was such an embarrassment. And I don't know what I was expecting or why I thought it would be any different or why I tuned in. But from the, it's all grab ass bits, like the real TB12 Terry Bradshaw and some comedian talking about Terry Bradshaw and his what? And then what's the so they go back to Super Bowl 42, of course, with the Giants, which makes sense. Like, you can give me something on that. But instead of having Michael Strahan, who actually played in the game, tell me something about the actual game, they bring in, who's the guy from Saturday Night Live?
I don't know. I only saw clips of this.
What's his name? Keenan Allen?
Keenan Allen. Yeah.
No, that's a wide receiver.
No. I know who you meant.
Keenan Thompson.
Okay, someone like that. I'm aggravated just thinking about it.
Clearly.
To do some sort of comedic reenactment of the Tyree catch. So everything is just like a put-on gag. Like, it's so frustrating to me. I thought that pregame product was such trash and utter garbage that I'm actually offended by it. Maybe I'm just angry that I thought it would be something else and I decided to invest a half hour of my time. So, or Tracy Morgan. So, is that right?
Yeah, that sounds correct, too. He was on SNL.
So it was Tracy Morgan who did this reenactment of the Tyree catch. And what was the thing, again, with the Terry Bradshaw TB12 method? Was it Terry Bradshaw 12, right?
I get it.
And it's all grab-assy, stupid jokes, forced, awkward, like, you know, and even they don't, what happened to Jay Glazer? I thought Jay Glazer was with Fox and would give you real good info and real good insight and real scoops.
Sunday.
They don't use him on Thursdays?
I don't believe so.
Because they had the kid from Good Morning Football, who's fine, but that's like an entertainment show too. So they bring in the kid from Good Morning Football to do like the NFL news segment, but he's just recapping everything that's been reported. He's not a scoop guy. He's not a reporter. So like, what's this? And so then, of course, they get to Gronkowski. And of course, there's some stupid bit where he's in his apartment condo in Miami with the solo cups and whatever. Like, I mean, I'm reluctant to even roll in the sound, but just go ahead. Just roll it in, Jimmy.
Who is it?
Fox Sports.
Mr. Gronkowski's been expecting you.
Yo, yo, what's up? You need a drink?
Sure, I'll have a...
Nah, here you go, have mine.
Oh.
Extra special juice in there, baby.
Well, Gronk, as you know, we are super excited about you joining the Fox Sports family.
I think it's going to be lit. Love Fox, love the guys. It's going to be something special.
One slight concern we have is about you being impartial. You know, as an analyst, you can't play favorites.
What do you mean?
Tonight, for example, your old team, the Patriots, is playing. You might have to be critical of them. Is that something you think you can do?
Easy cheesy. I've been waiting for this moment my whole career.
All right. Well, how about you, for example, say something critical about Tom Brady?
TB12?
Yeah.
Easy. You know, sometimes he just throws, like, too perfect of a pass. He's got to let that receiver look good. You know what I mean?
Okay, so that's enough. So that's enough. I can't do it anymore. So he's got the solo cups and the party thing in Miami. It's like, why? So have all these shows become like this? I think they have. I don't know. Is Fox worse than others? I would guess. But what? Why? You have 30 minutes before a football game where you've got real interest in both teams and you've got guys there who can talk about actual facets of the game and they're dinking around with like solo cups and gags and bits. And I don't get it. And I think the product is so wretched, such trash that it does offend me. And it's like, you have a former Patriot fresh off the team with a chance to actually teach us something or tell us something interesting about the team because he was inside. And instead, it's solo cups and nonsense. And I just, it's like, when did it make that turn? Why did it make that turn? And does it really work? Do you people watch that?
So you know what your problem is? You have a brain. That's your problem. Your problem is you have a brain.
Or maybe I just care about the game.
No, most of America just wants to sit there with their thumbs up their ass and be entertained. And I'm not necessarily complimenting most of America in the process. It's just, it's fast food.
Yeah, what did you
expect? It's fast food for the masses. That's all it is. It's fast food.
They're spending, so as like programmers there at Fox or everywhere, you're spending real money on this. Why don't you have Terry Bradshaw instead of, you know, becoming this clown, this clown show? Why don't you talk about football? Or why is Tony Gonzalez on that set? Because I didn't hear him talk anything about it. He's just sort of standing there offering no real insight. It's like the only interesting thing is what we played to you off the top of that segment is when Gronkowski said, it was easier time at getting a deal done with Fox than the Patriots. Okay, well, now you're like, there's a little bit of insight, and you're confirming the fact that you had contract problems with the Patriots. I mean, it's not exactly War and Peace or, you know, Watergate report. You know, Bob Woodward here, but at least there's a little bit of honest insight there that, yeah, I had a hard time getting contracts done with the Patriots. Okay. But that was the only thing. The rest of it, complete filler garbage. Garbage. Oh, it's like, it's offensive to me. What are they trying to do there?
Just keep people entertained.
See, but, I'll
but
tell why? You what.
But is it entertaining? It's not entertaining.
Okay, then tune in for the game.
So this is so I'm telling you, this is the last time I'm ever going to talk about it. It's the first time I tuned in for one of those shows in a long time. I was offended. Like, that's a joke.
You didn't see any of the halftime, did you?
No, I turned over to the Bruins.
Okay.
Why?
Because at halftime, they actually asked him about George Kittle with the Niners.
So that I did see. Why? Why do I care about George Kittle and the Niners?
But I'll tell you what, at least it was football related. At least it was he and Kelce. I think he and Kelce are the two best tight ends in the game. Kittle reminds me a little of me. He's, you know, second year in the league. He's really kind of blossoming now. My second year, that's when it really happened. At least there was some you know, attempt there to offer some insight.
For me, 0.0. That did zero. Saying a nice thing about George Kittle and he and Kelce are the best tight ends in the league?
Okay, as opposed to what? Sitting with solo cups?
We can all do that. Yeah, who couldn't do that? Why couldn't they run a highlight in the first half and Gronkowski say they were an overfront, so we did this against that defense? Like, why can't they do that?
Because based on anything that Fox has done before, and with pregame, postgame, anything, you're crazy to think that you were going to get hard sports. From any of this.
Because they think too much, America's too dumb to understand it. That's why.
But here's what I don't get. Are you really tuning in for Fox pregame for entertainment?
No, I don't think anyone's tuning into it anyway.
No. A football fan would tune into it if you gave me real football insight. I would. If they did video breakdown and film breakdowns with guys who were there, who ran the offense, who could tell me something, I would absolutely consume it. Okay. If you just want the entertainment, are you tuning into that train wreck to be entertained? Or aren't you watching some stupid show? You're not tuning into that to be entertained. You're watching entertainment to be for entertainment. If you're watching the football, or don't you want insight onto the football? When did it take that turn?
Yeah, you got me, but I can't. I'm not the type of person that typically watches a pregame show.
When network executives decided that they wanted the casual viewer with the remote control rather than the hardcore football fan, which they already have.
Honestly, so it's a good point.
That's one of the worst things I've seen in a long time. That was absolute trash. Rubbish. And you know, what they did with Gronkowski, like, was predictable, I guess. Maybe I had some sort of hope that they would ask him a real Patriots football question. He would give me a real Patriots football insight. But I guess I'm asking too much on that. That thing was absolutely horrible. And that's it. I got suckered in one night, but no more. You can do Gronkowski and these pregame shows on your own time. You know, I joked yesterday to have him take his shirt off and shotgun a beer. Well, it was kind of the first thing we saw. Gronkowski's got the solo cups in Miami Beach in his condo on the water, like playing the party boy. Like, he may as well have taken his shirt off and shotgunned a beer and then collapsed it against his forehead.
That's Sunday's bit.
I mean, it was absolutely vapid and not entertaining and not funny and not anything. So they tried to entertain, it wasn't entertaining. They tried to be funny, it wasn't funny. And they got zero football insight, zero. So what did you provide there in those 30, 40 minutes? Zero. You provided 0.0. It drives me crazy. Why can't you talk football and then your personality comes out in the course of talking football? That happens. The TNT, the gold standard, the Barkley thing, they start with basketball. The crux is basketball and their personality comes out in and around breaking down the basketball. And it works. What is up with just abandoning all that and going straight to taking your pants off and shaking your ass and trying to make jokes? I mean, it's ridiculous. Oh, absolute rubbish. So I'm glad I got that off my chest. Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
We all love Gronk, and I think the bottom line is he hasn't put his retirement papers in. So we can always pray and hope. It's a little fact that... I didn't know that. Well... I'm glad I could tell you one thing you don't know. Yeah. But you can pursue that. And when he puts his retirement papers in, although I think our kicker, Matt Nugent, he's already put his retirement papers in. So even if he puts them in. But that's a good academic argument that there is hope for us still with Gronk.
This is bugging me, too. You. So it's like, Maz... When Gronkowski says in this offseason, he said it all over the place in a lot of different contexts, that football put him in a dark place and he had multiple concussions to the point where his brain was taking on water and you could press your thumb into his head and it would make an indent and it was affecting his moods and his person, and he's just some really some powerful stuff.
Sure, no question.
But it's like, he hasn't filed. So what is it? Am I going to take you seriously on all this stuff you've said about your health and the head trauma and all the things that you're talking about? And, because you're being asked to take seriously with the CBD stuff. But in the same breath, everyone's like, well, he hasn't filed his paper. He can come back at any point. So what is it?
Okay, so but Kraft's comment, do you think that's about Gronk or do you think that's about the Patriots?
So you tell me what you think.
I think it's about the Patriots. Because here we are. The trading deadline's in what, Mike? 2.5 weeks? I mean, we're closing on the trading deadline, and they have a clear need. Okay, they have multiple needs if you want to throw in the offensive line. So let's just acknowledge they have needs on offense.
Well, so that is an insight into the Patriots that they would take them back.
Okay, so I think it has more to do with letting the world know we're not desperate for a pass catcher. Because I tie in the fact that as soon as Philip Dorsett left the game against the Redskins, it wasn't long thereafter that they don't believe it's serious, it's minor, he'll be back before long. Really? With a hamstring? Because I linked the two. I hear hamstring and I say 6 weeks. Well, it was a slight strain. So what happens when he runs full speed? It pops? Like, so he can't run full speed.
So you're saying they are...
I think they are building up this narrative that Dorsett's coming back. Gronk hasn't filed his papers yet. We have options internally for our passing game because ultimately they don't want to be held over a barrel.
Right, they're posturing against other teams in the league for trade talks.
Absolutely, that's what I think it is. And I think that Gronk's not coming back, and I don't think Dorsett's playing next week.
Okay, the whole Gronk thing, I'm done. Done with the whole thing. You want me to take you seriously about the impact of football and head trauma in your life, but you're going to dink around with every other turn? You and the Patriots talking about coming back? You can't have it both ways.
I've hated the whole Gronk, is he coming, is he going thing from the very beginning. I don't see how you can live that way.
Okay.
As an organization, you're either in or you're out.
Please. All right, back to your phones, as promised. You've been waiting patiently. John in Maryland. Go ahead, John.
Hey, I think we made a major mistake last year with our left tackle, Trent Brown. They don't grow on trees. 8-9 games in, you saw how good he was, how reliable he was. We saw a guy who's on injured reserve with an Achilles. Why not try to extend him? We've done that with Shaq Mason and Marcus Cannon. Why not try to give him a contract during the middle of the season? Now we lose him. He's too expensive to franchise, and we're offering a first rounder to the Redskins that gets turned down. And here we're stuck with Marshall Newhouse. You think Trent Brown allows that strip sack last night on Brady? I don't think so.
Okay, well, it was the tight end that you left out on him. Trent Brown wouldn't even have had a chance to block him if that's the way you drew it up with Ryan Izzo on him. But the thing with Trent Brown, they were leery of him, and I don't blame you. And I don't blame them for being leery. He had motivational issues in Oakland before he got out here, and he's already hurt in San Francisco now. You would have had to overpay him to keep him. The bigger second guess is, did you draft? You were sitting there at number 21. You could have taken a lineman there who could have been more durable or more functional than Isaiah Wynn. That's the second guess. Did you blow that draft pick?
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to look that way, but at the very least, they could have franchised him. That's what I wanted to do while you bring along Wynn slowly.
That's a huge number. That's like
14, I think. It's around 14 or 15, if I remember correctly, what a offensive lineman franchise tag number would be for this season. But I thought it would be worth it. It's almost like an insurance policy because Wynn's coming off a bad injury from last year that kept him out all last year. And so you have Brown, and if he goes down, well, at least Wynn, there's not so much pressure on him that he's, bang, you're a starting tackle. And what's the plan behind him? Well, we don't really know. We have to go get someone like Marshall Newhouse, who's now on his eighth team from off the street, and you're seeing why, because he stinks.
They didn't have enough at the position. Again, like, I'm not sure they should have franchised Trent Brown. But when Paul Perlow of Patriots.com was in earlier in the week, he said, well, you know, they had two tackles early on that retired on him. Velda.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Jared Veldheer.
So if Veldheer were at left tackle, would they be that much better off?
I don't know.
If he were a starter, fine, but they were looking at him as a backup. So the point is, they put their stock in Wynn. That's who they put their stock in. Now he's hurt again. So I am willing to allow for the fact that if Wynn comes back and plays well and the line stabilizes, well, then they were right. I'll give them that one. But if Wynn doesn't come back and the whole line now is in a state of chaos because they don't have a left tackle and they didn't have a backup plan for what amounts to a rookie at left tackle, a good backup plan, that's on them.
Johnny in Norwood on last night. Go ahead, Johnny.
First point, what about picking up Trent Williams? I believe he's still not playing.
Yeah, the Redskins said they aren't trading him.
I know, but he's sitting there. He's not making
I just told
money.
You the Redskins won't trade him, so what are you going to do?
All right. In fact, last night, you missed the whole point, Felga. That was supposed to be funny.
It wasn't.
You think you're going to bring Gronk in there with TB? It's going to be a funny thing. Plus, the guy from Saturday Night Live.
Did you laugh?
Of course I did. Oh. I thought it was great.
At which part? At which part? What was funny? Which part was funny? The Jonas Brothers? Again, the guy who did the Terry Bradshaw TB12 thing? What was that? And then Morgan Freeman, I keep wanting to say, what's the guy's name?
Caliendo?
The guy from, Saturday Night Live, Tracy Morgan?
Again, I don't know. I was at the game. I didn't like, why do I got to watch this? They're having a conniption over for no reason.
No, but they have 30 minutes. They've got four ex-players up there. And the show was the Jonas Brothers, some jamoke on Terry Bradshaw, Tracy Morgan, and then Alex Trebek. God bless you, love you, love you, mean it, all that. Like, nothing but best wishes. But what's the point of having Gronkowski and Alex and Tony Gonzalez and these guys if you're going to fill it with the Jonas Brothers and freaking Tracy Morgan? What's the point? And what are you trying to accomplish there? And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, your problem is you expect content.
I expected content. I did.
Yeah, which makes you a donkey.
Never again. Never, ever again. No commercial, and no commercials here, just 90 seconds for an update. Ann Murray, and we come back and talk about the offense. Fatal flaws, fatal problems. Do you believe that? We'll get right to that and your calls after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.